For those who don't know me, I think I was here back in September, October. My name is Stephen Lyons. My wife, Victoria, we're both graduates from this wonderful college, or the best college, I think, in New England. So we both graduated. We are on our way to Spain. We do have prayer cards, and they are 7 cents a copy, but I know you're a college student, so I'll sell two for 5 cents, all right? There's a deal. You can get two for 10 cents, so. But please stop by, pick up prayer card, pray for us, we need prayer. We just started in September, and from September to now, we have gone from 0% to 5.8% support, so it's going well. We're steadily increasing. We got meetings lined up all the way till May. We just moved up here to Bristol, Connecticut as of Monday. We made the trip Monday over the weekend from Jacksonville to Connecticut. We put everything in our car and packed to the brim. We had a car to carry on top, and we traveled all the way up here, so we're officially moved in to Connecticut. We are officially nutmeggers. If you're not from Connecticut, that's what they're called, nutmeggers, right? Okay, make sure. Over the summer, we got a couple places in the summer, but we're still on the way. We still got a lot to go. Our goal is to be on the field for our first term, fall of 2026. That's our goal. The average length of a missionary to Europe is about 3 to 5 years. I said, Lord, I believe in breaking records. Let's get there in 2.5. So I'm praying if it's the Lord's will, we get there at fall of 2026. My wife saw some statistics from the Joshua Project, and this is something I found crazy. It was the statistics of Christ followers. Not necessarily Baptists, not necessarily just in general Christ followers. It went about percentages of population for every continent. America, I think, was 21 to 22% of Christ followers, of 22% of the population. Africa was up to 15 to 17% of their population. Europe, 2%. And to think that once Europe was the center of missionaries, the center of missionaries, and now they're in darkness. So there is a world out there. But we cannot help spread the gospel to a world without purifying ourselves first. If I were to give you a glass of water and that glass had mud in it, would you drink from it? Some of you, Nate, would probably say yes. But that's a story and a subject you can ask him later. Normally, normal people would say no, right? Normal people would say no. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Please pray for us. We are hoping to go to a missions retreat over in Germany in October. And so we're hoping to get there. And then hopefully for a week or two after that, we'll go to Spain, almost like a survey trip there. So that's our goal for the end of this year. So please be in prayer for us. We will be attending, of course, this year's missions conference here, and so just pray that we can get things going. So James chapter 4, let's see if I can find James. All right, James chapter 4, we'll start in verse number 6. But he giveth more grace, amen. I can just stop right there and just keep going, but that's not the focus we're going on. And he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We're going to speak on this subject this morning, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Let's pray. We'll go ahead and get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day you've given us, Lord. Thank you for just giving us a good day today. Lord, help this week. Help us prepare our hearts, really just prepare our minds, just see what you have for us, Lord. It was one of these missions conference where you worked on my heart to become missionary, Lord. Lord, I please pray the same for any of these young people, just to guide them, Lord, show them where you want them to do, where you want them to go. All these things ask in your name. Amen. James is often known as a Proverbs of the New Testament. You see, Proverbs in the Old Testament has a lot of practical application. A Christian just reading through the book of Proverbs can really just pretty much live a good ethical Christian life just by reading the book of Proverbs. It's filled with golden nuggets and just little practical things. James is the same way for the New Testament. Very small, practical things. And it was primarily written to believers that were scattered abroad the Roman Empire. Read the first part of the letter. It says, my brethren, talking to the body of Christ. Christians were facing harsh persecution, and many of them were denouncing their faith for their personal security. Though there was huge persecution for the Roman Empire, they were killing them, and a lot of times they put the stipulation, denounce your faith in Christ or be killed. Now, I would like to say that every one of you would be with me if we were to say, yeah, if the government here in this country came down here and said, you have to denounce your belief in Christ or be killed, I would like to say for myself, I will take the shot. I will take the death. But I don't know. I would like you to ask that question. I would like to do that, but we never really faced that situation. It's a tough situation. And these Christians were in a tough situation. And James wanted to encourage his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to tell them that no matter the consequence, we as Christians need to live out our faith. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians in Bible college that will reject Jesus Christ of things less. Our testimony of God, it is our testimony of God that people see. Being a child of God is not merely a one-time decision and a personal change, which it is. You've got that time of salvation, that moment of salvation where you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where it starts. But it doesn't stop there. Now, you will remain saved. That's a promise. But to be a Christian is to have a change of desires and a lifestyle that, unfortunately, today is very contrary to popular living. This is what James is trying to point out. We need to make a difference. And difference starts in our hearts. We can't make a difference outwardly if our hearts is nothing different than anyone else's. Because the Bible says that out of the issues of life, where does all the issues of life come from? The heart. For out of it, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So I want to talk to you today, not about worldwide evangelism, while this has an impact on worldwide evangelism. I want to try to bring it more home. Because I feel like sometimes, a lot of times, we give a lot of emphasis to going, but like I said, if we don't give emphasis to cleaning that cup of water, cleaning that glass, we end up giving a cup of muddy water to everyone else. So, we see number one, submit. Verse number seven, how to draw nigh to God? First of all, we must submit. We must submit. This kind of goes contrary to any human, normal human behavior, because we have that. There's that state of mind where I gotta look out for myself, make sure I'm okay. Pride was the first sin that was made. In Isaiah, we read, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Next time you think about seeing a special, although that was a beautiful special, I appreciate that. Next time you think about seeing a special, leading music, going up to pray, ministering, teaching the kids, it's not about you. It's not about me. I don't go up here so that y'all can look at me and say, wow, good job, Stephen. No, I'm up here because God, I want to give praise to Him. I want to give all attention, not to me, but to Him. Because in the end, it's not my words that I want to give you, but it's God's words. And first of all, I have to be careful, and I got to make sure my glass is clean so I don't give you guys muddy water. Because at this point, I'm assuming you're trusting that I will give what God has put in my heart. And I don't want to give that to you guys. I don't want to give muddy water. Just like I don't think you want to give muddy water to those you come in contact with. Submit. Submission of our pride. I must decrease and he must increase. Increase. First of all, number one, pride destroys. Pride, it destroys. Proverbs 16, verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I grew up with brothers and one sister. She was pretty much a brother to any of us. She's pretty much one of the guys. She wrestled with us. She was pretty much one of us. And if you have siblings, which most of you do, some of you do, there is such thing as what we call a sibling rivalry. I will back my siblings against anybody else. I will make sure my brothers, I'm on my brother's side when it comes to anybody else. But if I find myself against my brother, I will do everything in my power to destroy him. I want to make sure that I come out on top. But that's not the attitude we should have from each other. Should. Because as fellow Christians, as my siblings in Christ, if you will, I should not be able to say, stepping on Brandon's head saying, you can't do anything, I'm better than you. No, that should not be it. When we come in a church, when you're in the dorm rooms, when you're in the middle of midterms week, which I think is this week, that's important to say, hey, you got this. I'm in your corner. You can do this a little more. One more class. One more week and you can go a little more. We have to encourage each other. But unfortunately, if pride gets in our relationships, it destroys those relationships. When our pride gets in a relationship with God, it destroys that relationship. What does it destroy? Number one, it destroys your reputation. In Proverbs 11, verse 2, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Not only does it destroy your reputation, but it destroys your reaction. In Proverbs 27, 2, let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. When someone is proud, has a proud spirit, a proud attitude, when someone says, good job, What's the reaction a proud man would do? Rejoices in himself. Thank you. Wow. I appreciate you noticing how good looking I am. I appreciate you noticing how well I sing. I appreciate you noticing how well of a fashion style I have. I appreciate you noticing how good I am with other people. No. When we have a prideful heart, it destroys that reaction and it comes into something like that. When people say, good job, not because of me, because of him. Who gives us the strength to go and work? God. Who gives us the strength to go teach or to the power to say the words to change a bus kid's heart? God does. Who gives us the power to sing? God does. Who gives the power to talk? God does. He deserves the honor and the praise. But the moment we get proud, we start robbing him of what he rightfully deserves. Not only does pride destroy it, but number two, pride determines. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What does pride determine? Pride determines, number one, that you are right. Myself. And it also determines that they are wrong. I'm right. You're wrong. I did a study on Ecclesiastes with some of my teenagers, and I had to I started thinking about what's the difference between being vain and being proud. Being vain, they're both types of pride, but they have to do with different relationships. Being vain is being worried about how others think about you. You're so worried about other things about you that you will change yourself. They tend to like this kind of hairstyle, so I'm going to change my hairstyle so they'll like me better. That's vain. Pride is how you view yourself. It's a personal. They're both personal issues, but pride is how... Vain is how... Is you being worried about how others view you. Pride is how you view yourself. And when one is proud, you view yourself as higher than someone else. I'm right, you're wrong. So, number one, submit. If we ever want to start drawing nigh to God, it starts in the heart. And when we submit, that's a change of mindset. A change of mindset. Number two, not only should we submit, number two, we should suffer the devil. In the same verse, verse number seven, we have submit yourselves therefore to God. Number two, resist the devil. Suffer the devil and he will flee from you. Remember Job? Remember what Job suffered through? He suffered through everything. Man, the three things that the world says the most important, which is money, family, and friends. Money, family, and friends. He lost all of them. He lost his money, all of his wealth. He lost his family, all his children. He lost his friends. Everything. And when he lost everything, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He and the devil ran from him. Why should we suffer the devil? Number one, because he is persistent. He is persistent. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, what does the Bible compare Satan to in 1 Peter? A lion. A roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. He's persistent. It is said that when a lion hunts, it will use 100% of its strength to hunt the smallest of prey. 100%. Doesn't matter how small you are. Doesn't matter how big you are. Doesn't matter how spiritually sound or not. He's going to go after you with all of his might. Well, I've just been saved 1 or 2 years. He's going to go after you all his might. I've been saved for 7, 8, 9 years. He's going to go after you with all of his might. I've been saved for 40, 50 years. He's going to go after you with all of his might. Doesn't matter who you are. The devil doesn't like you. And he's going to use all his might to try and destroy you. Not only is he persistent, number two, he's practical. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." In the Garden of Eden, it's funny. It's not funny, actually, because it was pretty serious. But it's interesting to note. The serpent knew exactly what Eve's weakness was and hit that point every single time. The devil knows each and one of your weaknesses, and he will try to hit it every single time. Every single time. He's practical. He knows. I know it's different for everybody. It really is. And he just knows. He's practical. He changes the way he tempts you. He changes the way he puts himself in a situation to try and get you to lose your testimony. Because he knows if you lose your testimony, you can't do a thing for Christ. You can't reach your world for Christ. You can't even reach your families for Christ if your testimony is ruined. Suffer the devil. It's a change of motive. We resist. Right? We resist things for a reason. Some people resist change. Why? Because it makes them feel uncomfortable. That's fair. Some people they resist being in public. Why? Because they have a fear of being in public. We should resist the devil. Why? Because we have fear of what damage he can do to our lives. And it's a change. Why do we resist the devil? Oh, because, you know, he's a bad guy. No, it's a little more serious than that. A little more serious than that. So we must first, in order to draw nigh to him, to draw nigh to God, first we must submit, which is a change of mindset. How we think of ourselves. Number two, we must suffer the devil. It's a change of motive. Why we do what we do. Number three, you must step closer to God. In verse number 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is the call to action. To step closer to God is a change in motion. Because we can't serve God just here. If you can't serve God just here, it has to come out in our hands. Has to come out in our feet. Has to come out of our mouth. has come out in our purpose, physical movement. We can have a change of mindset all we want. We can have a change of motive, but that should draw us to have a change of motion and action to do something, whether it is to be an encourager, to take care of that class, to maybe even as simple as maybe I should just read my Bible more. It could be as simple as that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become what? You're completely different. When we're saved, we're different. Now, some of us, well, I didn't get any handsomer when I got saved. None of you did either, so don't. Our physicality doesn't change. Not really. When we get saved, this really doesn't change. Now, I know, like, it depends on the person, how they have their prior life. They may fix themselves up. Maybe guys have like long hair, they kind of shorten it up a little bit. Maybe dress. It is what it. All that aside, but like we don't change color. We don't grow an extra limb. Like none of that happens. But there's a change. We're a new creature, spiritually. We now have the Holy Spirit residing in us. We now have power that the Holy Spirit has. We now should have a good Christian walk. A testimony. That's where our testimony starts. A change in motion. Number one, what must we do? Number one, cleanse our hands. Cleanse our hands. In Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. After David's sin, he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Maybe, and I'm not talking about salvation here, I'm talking about your everyday life. I'm not talking about, oh, salvation, he cleanses me, which he does. But in everyday life, because you and I both know we're not perfect after salvation. We both know that. But when it happens, what does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgive our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a promise. And with that promise, we can go to him and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Create in me a clean heart. Cleanse my hands. Number two, not only cleanse your hands, but number two is to purify your hearts. Purify your heart. Not only clean up what you do, but clean up how you feel. Clean up how you feel. And then number three, humble ourselves. Those are the three things. Cleanse your hands, purify your heart, and humble yourselves. And this, hopefully, if we get this seriously, we can draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. We can't even get close to God if we have any of these things in our heart. We can't. With pride, nuh-uh. He can't even get close to God. He cast it out of heaven. We simply cannot be a friend of the world. Because to be a friend of the world means what? To be enmity with God. I said this in high school, and I think I said it last time I was here, but I'm going to say it again. You know how powerful God is? Do you know how powerful God really is? We say, oh yeah, he's powerful. It blows my mind. I think I said it before. I'm going to say it again. The word universe, right, comes from two words, uni and verse. Pretty smart, right? So, 3 years of college, that's what I got me. Verse means a sentence. Uni means one. Put those two together, guess what you have? A single spoken sentence. How did God create the world? How did God create the universe? Let there be light, and there was, and it was. It was good. It was so. That works too. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be, let the fowl of the air, and there it was. He said it, and it was so. Universe. When an atheist says the universe, he's literally saying that it was spoken into existence. That's how powerful God is. And to be at enmity with that, that's Scary. The number one reason we refuse to change the way we live is because we're too proud to admit that the way we are living is wrong. We make all these kinds of justifications why my sin is actually right. How silly. God calls us to be different, God calls us to be different. And this means in our daily life, our daily conversations, our thought process. To submit means a change in mindset. To resist the devil means a change in motive. And to draw nigh is a change of motion. Before we close, how many of you volunteer? All right, Brandon, come on up. All right, too slow, Ramir. Brandon. Right, stand right there for me. Brandon, right there. I'm going to put it in a kind of a visual sense. This represents two presents. Not Christmas presents, but an essence of living presence. One of them's us, and one of them's God. First and foremost, this is our presence. This is our daily life. This is what we do. This is what we think. This is how we live. We're going to hold it in our hand real tightly with the presence of God. Can I see your hand real quick? This presence, I'm going to put it over here. Brandon, you're not God, okay? Put it that way. Amen. But your hand represents the presence of God. So we have the presence of God. Go ahead and stand on that corner over there. Right there. Perfect. When we move away from God, that's being the presence of God. When we move away from God, why do you open your hand for? When we move from the presence of God, we move away. Never does God move away from us. Never. Ever. We move away from God and we say, God, why are you so far away? And he says, yeah, I didn't move. You're going to move closer. The Bible says, when we submit, have a change of mindset, we draw closer a little bit, and he draws closer. When we suffer the devil, that's a change of motive. We move a little closer. He moves closer. And then finally, when we step closer to God, finally, a change of motion. When we step closer to God, we get close to him, sooner or later, go ahead, we become close with him. You know, there's a whole world out there that's dying. Thank you, Brandon. There's a whole world that's dying. And if we can't draw close to God, we can't possibly do anything for him. There's no way. There's a whole world out there that's lost and dying. Across the street from where you live. I know all you live here, but even across the street. There's a whole world that's across the world. If we're ever going to be used of God, it's got to be when we submit. It's got to be when we suffer the devil. It's got to be when we step closer to God. What's it going to be? Are you going to live your life how you think? No, I came to college thinking I was going to stay in America. I came here thinking I wasn't going to go be a missionary. I didn't want to be a missionary. I was going to do something good. I want to be a pastor, a youth pastor in America. Is that not, do the youth in America, do they need the gospel? Yes. That was something good. I was determined, you know, God, I don't want to be a missionary. I want to stay here because the teenagers here need the gospel. That's not bad, is it? But when a missions conference just like this, God starts touching your heart. Hey, where you grew up, there are people there that are lost and dying just as there are people here in America. I've got someone else for this job. I need you over there. And I fought. I didn't give my life to him that day. I fought. I fought for a whole week. Missions conference ended on Sunday, every day. There's people there that are dying. No, God. I want to stay here. Spain is dying. No, God. I want to stay. Their souls are going to hell. Okay, Lord. Okay.
I'm giving my life to you. And now I'll do what you want me to do. I'm not saying you're here in college for the wrong reason. You may be here. You may be in the right direction God may be. That God may want you to go. I'm not saying that at all. In this week, why not even consider the possibility of missions? Because if we're not even considering missions, we're not even thinking about it, aren't we limiting God to what He can do in our lives? When God wants our heart, when God wants our lives, He wants everything. He wants what you desire the most, and He wants what you least desire. What are we going to do this week? As we go through this missions conference, you can say, well, I know for a fact I'm not going to become a missionary. Now I know for a fact. Well, hold on. I thought the same thing. Open your heart. Open your life. Open yourself up to whatever God has for you. Because then and only then can you see how good God can be in your life. I'm pretty sure He's been good to some of you guys already. I'm pretty sure some of you guys can say, Stephen, this is how God has worked in my life. And I can rejoice with you and say, amen. You go. And I can share things that God has done in my life. And you can say, amen, Stephen. Let's go. Let's do this. But if we suddenly shut our lives, say, okay, God, I'm going this direction. Don't you change it. That blessing's gone. That power's gone. Let's submit. Let's resist the devil. Let's step closer to God. That's a change of mindset, how we think of ourselves. A change of motive. Why do we serve God? And a change of motion. Do what He wills, not just what you want. Every head bowed, every eyes closed.